So if you have your Bibles with me, I really encourage you to turn to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verse 57 to 62. So Luke, chapter 9, verse 57 to 62. If you have your smartphones, you can turn on your smartphones and scroll down to Luke, chapter 9, verse 57 to 62. The cost of following Jesus. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Verse 62, Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Will you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word and your spirit. Lord, we pray that you come and minister to us, come and meet us in this place. As we come and worship you, as we come and lift up the name of Jesus, may your spirit continue to minister to us, create in us a clean heart, and restore unto us the joy of your salvation. Lord, that through your word this morning, that once again we will be refreshed, once again we'll be encouraged and edified to live a life after you, to have a heart that longs after you and your presence. So Father God, be with me, fill me with your spirit as I minister to your people. And I pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You know, as Asians, we love calculating the cost in all that we do. All right? How much is this going to cost me? Can I maybe receive this for 50% off or get a small discount? We are all concerned with the cost. You know, I'm normally quite bad with maths. But when it comes to trying to get a savings or a bargain, all of a sudden, my math skills start to improve. And now, if we're honest with ourselves this morning, we're all concerned with the cost in pretty much everything that we do in our life. If today I give tithe, how much do I have left? If I treat my friends or my family members, how much does that leave in my wallet? You see, we are all calculating the cost in pretty much everything that we do. Back then when I was a kid, I didn't understand that there was a cost in a lot of the things that I wanted. You know, growing up in a loving family, my parents and grandparents, aunties and uncles, they'd be giving you stuff, they'd be giving you red pockets every year, feeding you. But as I grew older, my dad taught me that there is no free meal. Everything comes at a cost. As I grew from being a boy to a man, I started to realize that every decision I made in life, there always comes a cost. The choices in regards to our relationships, to everyday finances, there's a cost. Now, from today's reading, we can also see that there is a cost when it comes to following Jesus Christ. Jesus doesn't just call us to come for 1 hour to spend on a Sunday afternoon or Sunday morning. What Jesus calls is for us to follow him like radical disciples. For most of us here, we think following him means coming to church on time. Maybe helping out Sunday school, lending a hand in Awana, or maybe even lending a hand in the kitchen. But what Jesus means is to go beyond all that. Don't do what's comfortable, or don't do what's just convenient, but go forth and do what may be uncomfortable, what may stretch you spiritually, what may stretch you emotionally. What Jesus is truly calling for is radical disciples. So from today's passage, we look into these three men, and as we listen and observe, we can gather very valuable instruction concerning the kingdom of God. So take the first guy. The first guy comes to Jesus in verse 57. A certain man came to Jesus and said, "I will follow you wherever you go." I can just imagine this guy coming up to Jesus, full of enthusiasm, so keen, probably really extra. "I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. He's probably seeing the hymn, "No turning back, no turning back." He's a very passionate young man. But then Jesus strikes at his heart. Jesus follows up with this. "Foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Here we can see a young man full of enthusiasm, so keen he volunteers himself, full of excitement. And he's the type of guy that you want at your church. He could volunteer himself as an Awana leader, youth leader, young adults leader, Bible study leader. This guy will be the best to bring on board a deacon, as a deacon or in the English ministry. He's the best guy to help out in every community service, outreach, Sunday school, summer and winter retreat. But the Lord checks him and puts him to the test. Jesus challenges this would-be follower by reminding him once again that the path in following Jesus is not easy. There's no business class. There's no five-star hotels. And if you're called to be a missionary in a hostile country, it might even cost your life. You may even have to rent for the rest of your life. You may never have your own home. From the reply of Jesus, we see that this man, he thought he was too ready. His offer was too complete. He's like that seed on stony ground that grew quickly. He but lacked root to withstand the sun. His superficial does not count the cost. See, I see many young people like this in our churches today. We're quick to speak. We're quick to volunteer. But when things get tough, we're the first ones to do a runner. Here, Jesus neither accepts nor declines his offer, but his reply strikes the heart of the matter. Jesus shows a way in which he leads the disciples. This way is not bordered with roses. There's no room upgrades. There's no Airbnb. There's no Uber rides. The animals here have shelter, but Jesus, who is constantly on the move, doesn't have any place to rest. Following Jesus in your life will always be on the move. And we have to be ready to be pilgrims on this earth. What Jesus is saying is not that you can't have a home. It's not that you can't have a car. But you need to redefine the definition of home. Jesus is saying, "I'm more important than home." Dear friends, if you were this first man, will you follow Jesus? What about your home? What about your comfort and your security? What about your luxury furniture? What about the security you enjoy with your well-paying job? What about your beloved friends and your families and your squad? See, I'm not saying that these things are wrong or that you need to get rid of it. But what I'm saying is that are you willing to detach yourselves from these things emotionally to follow Jesus? Jesus says, "Follow me." Am I more precious? Am I more satisfying than all these things in life? Can I bring more fulfillment than all that you have? Dear friends, when we see God as our permanent dwelling place, we can leave everything to follow Jesus and still be at home. The second young man to approach Jesus. The second story is a little bit different than the first. Here Jesus says to this young man, "Hey, follow me." This man was clearly interested in what Jesus had to say, but he was hesitant. So our Lord checks him and puts him to the test. He says, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and preach the kingdom of God." This man wanted to go home and bury his father. Now let's admit it, in any culture that we understand, Jesus gives these appalling words to this man. He's grieving the loss of his father. On the surface, it sounds like Jesus was refusing for him to go home and bury his poor father. And regardless of what culture you're from, we all have to honor the dead. But our Lord looks at his heart. He addresses the heart. He knew straight away that his father was not yet dead. Why? Because Jewish people had a very strict terms of burial. It would happen almost 24-hour time frame. And now if the father had died, his son would have not been talking to Jesus, but at home, grieving the loss of his father. So why did this young man make this sort of request? Why did this man make up an excuse and lie to Jesus? Here was someone who wanted to follow Jesus, but first, he wanted to negotiate his terms of discipleship. He wanted a better deal. In fact, he's the type of guy who wants to be a Christian, but not right now. You know, I'll become a Christian later on. I'm just busy at the moment with parties, social events. I have a career to pursue. I've actually got no time for Jesus. But hey, when I'm older, I'll start to follow Jesus. Now, how many of us feel like that or used to be like that? I was like that guy. When I started to work, I wanted to be popular among my colleagues. I would always go out with them, drinking after work, socializing with them, ignoring youth fellowship, ignoring young adult fellowship, not thinking about Bible study and the importance of church, and thinking to myself, I'll sort those things out later down in my life. Here we see an important truth. Jesus is teaching the priority of his kingdom first. He's not saying that your family or your career is not important. Your social life is not important. But what he wants us to focus on is that his kingdom should be our priority. Follow Jesus without delay. No longer put it off. Jesus wants us to follow him straight away. See, Jesus is not oblivious to our love for our family or our friends. He respects that. It's just he's looking at our hearts when we say, put it off. When we put it off. Leaving it later down the track. Next month, I'll attend youth group. Next month, I'll attend young adult fellowship. Next week, I'll attend prayer meeting. Next year, I'll think about serving as a deacon at this church. Why do we put it off? We're always putting it off. Growing up as a pastor's kid, the most common thing I hear at church from brothers and sisters is this. Later on, I will serve. Later on, I will attend Bible study. Later on, I will start to get serious about my faith. Later on, I will think about my faith. Why is this the case? Why is this the case in so many of our churches today? Because ultimately, it comes down to our hearts being divided. We still want this world, even though we do not belong to this world. Jesus calls for an undivided heart. If you're really on the road with Jesus, life is filled with intense urgency. Which is the second point. The call of Christ is far superior than any earthly obligation that you and I have. Have you seen that urgency in your own life? What is your relationship, dear friends, with Christianity? Are you one of those guys saying, I will become a Christian later on? I'll start to take my faith seriously later on. I'll start to come to youth fellowship when it gets a bit better. Finally, we come to the last guy. The third young man who wanted to follow Jesus. This man is also one who volunteers himself. He says, Lord, let me follow you, but first let me go home and bid farewell to my friends. You know, I've got a few great friends back at home. We've had this lovely friendship throughout the years. This guy has been my Facebook friend for so many years. I've got him on Snapchat. I like his status updates. He's like this man who's been drafted into war. I'll report for duty later on. But first I need to go home and say goodbye to my friends and my family, my girlfriend, my buddies, my mates. You know, I see many young people in our churches tell me this. Ben, when I'm young, I want to be free to enjoy myself. Later on, then I'll maybe settle down. See, this is common. I believe in Jesus, but I'm not ready to get too serious about him. But when I get older, I will. Our Lord replies and puts him to the test. No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. A plowman's job is to focus forward. Back then, they would get the oxen and they would focus and they would go straight down the line. They wouldn't go left, nor would they go right, but straight on. If he constantly looked back, then the oxen would waver to the left and to the right. Plowmen always fix their eyes forward. They look at the end goal. And the principle that we can learn from this third man is the total demands of the kingdom of God. The total demands of the kingdom of God. This young man, this would-be follower, was lost for words. He knew very well his heart was half-hearted. He wanted to follow Christ, but he would like to just have a party with his friends one more time. Sometimes you and I, we wrestle with the same temptation. We want to wait a little bit longer before embarking on our journey with Jesus. And once we do start following Jesus, we keep looking back. We keep looking back at the life that we could live with our friends. You know, my wife and I have been here in the US for over a year. And I'll confess to you and I'll admit to all of you that it's a struggle every day. Every day is a struggle. Even though I know God has called me here to Home of Christ Church in Menlo Park, and he's given me what I need to accomplish and what I need to learn. But at the age of 30, I still struggle every single day. Every day, 3 p.m., 10 p.m. on time, I call my parents. Thinking about home, thinking about my dad, thinking about my mom's cooking, thinking about my mom folding my clothes. I wish I was back at home in Melbourne every day. You know, my wife's probably sick of it. She probably wants me to finally grow up. But I have to admit, you know, it's a hard decision to come here. It was outside of my comfort zone. It stretched me spiritually. It stretched me emotionally. I don't have any friends or family here in the States. All the parties, all the social gatherings were back in Melbourne. All that I know, all that I grew up with is in Australia. Now, when I prepare this part of the sermon, it struck my heart. Am I like this guy? I want to follow Jesus. I know the calling that he's given me, but I constantly keep looking back. I keep looking back. So I looked and I kept studying this scripture. Maybe it's different in the Greek translation. Maybe it's different in the Chinese translation. But guess what? It says what it says. Jesus, he doesn't beat around the bush. He questions you and I this morning. Are we fit for the kingdom of God? If he calls us to be radical followers and do something outside of our bubbles, are we going to look back? There's an Old Testament story in 1 Kings chapter 19. There was an Old Testament prophet by the name of Elijah. It was time for him to raise up a disciple. God gave him a command to go to a guy by the name of Elisha and to put his coat on Elisha to ordain him for the same service. Elisha was busy working the field. Once he received this ordination from Elijah, once he received this confirmation, he knew that he couldn't look back. He knew that maybe these oxen will keep him from progressing forward. Back then, these oxen were a man's livelihood. However, Elisha knew very well that God would provide for him. He knew that he needed unwavering commitment to God. He took these oxen and made a life sacrifice. Now, I'm not saying to you this morning to go home if you feel like you're called to go on a mission trip or to be a radical follower of Christ Jesus in another nation, to go home and make a life sacrifice. Grab your favorite pet, your cat, your PC, your car, and put it on fire. That's not what the text is saying, telling us to do. But what the text is saying is questioning us. Do we have an unwavering commitment to God? Do we have an unwavering commitment to God? Are we willing to give up these things to follow Jesus? Whatever this third would-be follower looked back at, maybe it was a nice job in Silicon Valley. Maybe it was a nice job at Facebook or Google. Maybe it was his fast donkey that he had back in the days. Did not make him fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus knew this man. He knew that if this man went back to the party, it would keep him there. Many of us are like this Christian, would-be follower. We keep looking back. Do you understand the urgency, the importance, and the unwavering commitment that God requires in his kingdom? When one gets asked whether they commitment to follow Jesus, the most common answer that I hear is this: tomorrow. There's a tendency to treat our relationship with Jesus like the diet that we keep on meaning to start. I'm going to start eating right, but first let me finish this massive bowl of noodles. Tomorrow for sure. You see, we treat our relationship with Jesus like the workout program that we have. We go to bed telling ourselves, tomorrow I'm going to wake up and exercise. But the night we find ourselves getting into bed promising, tomorrow for sure. But first let me think about all these things and, you know, I'll start to get serious about it maybe next week or next year. When Jesus calls us to follow him, he means right now. He means today. Now, dear friends, if you understand what it means for God to send his one and only Son to redeem this world, you will agree with the very words from Isaac Watts, a famous hymn writer. He says, love so amazing, so divine, it demands my soul, my life, my all. There was a wealthy Chicago man by the name of William Borden. In 1904, at the age of 18, he had already traveled around the world. He had an education at Yale and then later at Princeton Seminary. He committed his life to win the Muslims in China to Christ Jesus. At the age of 26, he left for Cairo and he contracted a malaria affecting the brain. As he laid on his deathbed, he scribbled this note. He said, no reserve, no retreat, no regrets. That is the type of attitude God is calling us. So as I conclude, and as I recap these 3 points from today's sermon, the first young man, what we can learn is this. We need to detach ourselves from anything that prevents progress towards God. The second young man is this. The call of Christ is superior than any earthly obligation that you and I have. The third young man, and what God wants us to learn, is that when we follow him, he wants unwavering commitment. As we look into these three would-be followers, it's hard not to wonder what became of them. Did they end up following Jesus? Luke, he doesn't tell us what happened to them. But maybe his main concern was to help us write the ending of our own story. The story of our own personal journeys with Jesus. As I get Ruth to come up and as we finish off this morning's service, Jesus set the tone and continued towards Jerusalem. He had given up the comforts of home and family. He had given up the glories of heaven to suffer here on earth. Jesus made it all the way to the cross, to the glory of his Father, for your sake and for my sake. He died for our sins, so that you and I can be reconciled to God himself. His blood is enough washed away our sins. And because of that, you and I can now stand before a holy and perfect judge. We can stand righteous because of Christ Jesus. So now Jesus is calling us to sacrifice for Him. Maybe it's your personal time that you need to give up so that you can do a bit more church work. Maybe it's eating out less so you can save a bit of money to give more to the church. Or maybe it's to sacrifice your friendship circles that are distracting you away from church, from youth fellowship. Maybe it's taking a step back from your careers so that you can focus more on having fellowship with God. Maybe it's doing missions in your family. Are you willing to sacrifice for Jesus? Are you ready to follow Jesus? Dear friends, this morning I want to encourage you to look to Jesus and never look back. As I said from the beginning, there's a cost in all that we do. The cost of following Jesus is a very tough one. However, it should remind us of the greatest cost of them all. The cost of God crushing His own Son so that our sins are wiped away, and that you and I are made right before God. Not only are we made right before God, we have eternal life, and we can have life to its fullest right here on earth. Do you believe that? I encourage you this morning to reflect, to think about today's message. Are you willing to follow Him? Are you willing to have a total commitment towards Him? Are you willing to put off every earthly obligation that you have that is holding you back from your relationship to Jesus? As we close our eyes, as we pray and reflect, let us just have this moment to ask, oh God, to use His own word and to use His own Spirit to minister to us, to meet with us right now at this instant, so that we can follow Him from the depths of our hearts. That all the things that are holding us back, that are preventing us progress in following Jesus, Lord, that He may take those away. And if you want to follow Jesus, and if maybe you've been struggling all your life to truly know Him, I ask you to pray right now. Pray for the Spirit to help you. Pray for the Spirit to minister to you. Pray for the Spirit to help you detach yourselves from any worldly things that are holding you back, and to follow Jesus with all your heart. And I believe if you ask in faith, He will do that great work in you right now.